What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
You got it, dude.
And we are here with this week's, I'll call it weeks, but we've been gone for like 3 weeks, episode of Bright Side of the Suns for the fans, by the fans podcast. Paul, can you stop making so much noise over there?
Sorry, I didn't feel like I was doing anything.
Sit still for like 3 seconds of your life.
No.
Okay. In case you haven't been able to tell yet, we are recording remotely. Paul and I are not in the same location tonight. He is in the home of the Orlando Magic, also known as, well, Orlando, Florida. And he's gracious enough to still join us. And even more gracious than Paul joining us is our guest that we have on the pod this week, Raph? I said it right. You may know, perhaps, as a contributor to the Bench Mob NBA podcast. And he's here all the way from Australia just to join us.
That's right. Happy to be here.
Might be a bit of a lie. Raph was in town. He's been traversing the United States for the past 2.5 weeks. We met up with him the other night at the Brews and Hoops mixer that the guys over at... Paul, help me out here.
The solar panel.
Thank you. Solar panel put on. Tim and Espo. Great time the other
night.
And Dave. Sorry, Dave. Shoot, my bad.
Yeah, just leave out our boss.
Dave's also like, he tends to miss a lot of them, so am I really wrong by not including him? I should stop already, right? I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
So we met up with Raph the other night. He's in town for one more evening, so we figured, hey, you know what? Even though Paul's not here, we'll hop on board here, and we will record a quick pod and
make it work.
And at the very least, you get to hear the soothing sounds of an Australian accent for the next 25 minutes or so.
I hope I don't fall asleep over here.
I hope you don't either. Before we get,
because you can't slap me awake.
That's true, I can't. Before we get into it, a quick reminder: Brightside Night coming up January 14th against the Pacers. We've plugged it repeatedly already, so donate. Buy tickets, do something. It's cheap. It's a good cause. Not much more needs to be said about it, right?
Exactly. We did it. You can too.
Indeed. 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 So, all right. Well, since we have a guest, I figured perhaps not to put him on the spot right off the bat, but he can share with us some of the trials and tribulations he's had since he's been here in the States. He went to a couple Suns games, attempted to go see the Naz Suns, and failed.
Yep, failed miserably. Yep.
I wasn't going to say miserably, but you did, so I'll go ahead and go with that. But, Raph, how's the trip been? Any thoughts, comments, insight into everyone's favorite NBA team, the Phoenix Suns, and everyone's favorite G-League, not D-League anymore, G-League team, the Naz Suns, or at least, you know, your attempt to go see them?
So, first of all, this is my second time in Phoenix. And this time, I'm spending a few more days and got to go down and explore a little bit. It's great here. The weather's awesome. It's always fun to head out to Talking Stick. Although it wasn't called Talking Stick last time I came. I think it was still U.S. Airways,
formerly known as America West Arena. America West.
West Arena.
America West. So it's always fun heading out there and getting to go see the Suns live. But I will touch on the so you say NA, I call it Northern Arizona, like NAZ, NAZ.
Can we go back to the whole like Australian thing about wasting breath and syllables by not just making it easier? Like,
okay,
we're sitting here, we're recording in Raph's hotel room, and he goes, "Oh, I'll turn down the aircon," and I'm like, "You mean the AC?"
Aircon.
He's like, "Well, we call it aircon." So apparently in Australia they make everything a little bit more difficult in terms of expressing
system.
Well, that's a whole different beast right there. That's the rest of the world
that's
versus
America
us.
Making things,
yeah, exactly.
Complicated.
But your abbreviations are not as abbreviated as us Americans would like them to be, apparently. But at any rate, I digress. Go on.
I won't try and point them out. They will probably just come out naturally. So
and I'll point them out.
You just point at me.
Believe you me.
So yesterday was a pretty good opportunity. Went to the Suns game on Saturday night. Had Sunday free, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to drive up north. I've rented a car here in Phoenix. So I'm going to drive up north and check out the check out the rest of the state, because it's a pretty beautiful country.
It's beautiful.
And so anyway, so just worked out that the NAZ Suns were playing up in Prescott.
Well done. Not Thanks. Prescott.
Prescott.
If you ever say that in Prescott, you might get punched.
Okay. So so I thought, okay, I'm gonna head up to Sedona, which is not nearby, but close enough by if I'm already driving an hour and a half, 2 hours. So I went up there and checked out a national park, and it was really, really beautiful. And before I left, I checked my phone, had the Google Maps up, saw my route, saw which way to go. And I was on my way. So anyway, I left the national park and didn't have any phone reception, and sort of just Google Maps still had my path mapped out, told me I had an hour and a half to go, and I thought, all right, let's just do it. The signs should be detailed enough.
You would think.
I don't know where I am. I have a fair idea where I'm going. So I just went with it. So I went driving along I think just a side note. So when I met Justin the other night, I was talking about the differences of driving in Arizona to driving in Australia, and I'm not going to go into detail about them. But I feel like now I'm a native Arizonian, because I was definitely keeping up with the rest of everyone else on the road.
Speed limits are a mere suggestion.
I didn't say what I was
if
doing.
If you're not going over 9 over, you're not driving fast enough.
So I'm heading down the highway and ended up in a lovely little town, just saying before, a lovely little town called Jerome.
I think Jerome,
which I really wish I could have stopped off. That looked awesome. And yeah, just the views and everything. So I'm driving up through Jerome, and then I think if I got this right, it goes like back down the other side of a mountain to go from Jerome, I think, heading towards Prescott. And I had about an hour and a half to play with by the time leaving the park to get to the game. So I thought, this is plenty of time. Even I can't mess this up. So I'm driving along and just kept driving. And then it got an hour and a half, and I'm starting to get worried. I'm like, I don't want to miss the game. Like, this is my one chance to see the Suns, the G League Suns play. So driving along, and then I kept going, and then I come down the other side of a mountain through a forest, and I ended up in some place called People's Valley. And I stopped off at a service station and asked the lady behind the camera, like, whereabouts is Prescott? And she's like, oh, it's 45 minutes back up the mountain. At this point, it was already like 3:15. I'd given up hope. I'd been driving for, I don't know, it felt like 3 hours at that point. I had to take a breath to stop and, yeah, so
I feel like, you know, you got to take in Northern Arizona, which is beautiful. And I like to point out one thing. You can tell this is a true Suns fan here, because he said, I didn't want to miss my one opportunity to see the G League Suns play.
He's doing better than us.
Man. That's devotion right there. And they don't even have Derrick Jones Jr. anymore. Not that, you know, he was on the main roster, but still, he's no longer.
They may get him again.
They Alec Burks, though, who apparently has been.
There's also a little side story there. Cody Toppett, the new coach of the Northern Arizona Suns, he actually has a show on our Bench Mob podcast called Top of the Key. So there was also another incentive to get out to Prescott and check it out. So unfortunately, I didn't get to see the game. And they were playing the Westminster Knicks, I think is the name. And if from memory,
Westchester.
Westminster sounds a little too far east.
Yeah, that might be the wrong direction.
Yeah, across the pond.
Yeah, sorry, G League. So that would have been fun. So anyway, unfortunately, I missed the game. I was very upset, and I got back to my hotel and decided that the hotel bar was the best place for me to unwind.
It seems like a good way to make yourself feel a little better about driving for 5 hours in a day without any net result coming to you in the end.
Well, I did get
at least it wasn't through Kansas.
That's why
you might have killed yourself.
Why do you have to rip on Kansas, dude? Jeez,
because I've driven through Kansas.
It just seems like an unnecessary pot shot. I love Kansas. Kansas is a beautiful, beautiful area of the world, of the country. God's country,
brown.
If you... Oh, yeah, definitely flat, but it's Kansas.
That's going to be my next road trip.
Don't.
Fly there.
Yeah, fly over Kansas.
Okay, well, let's maybe move off of the sheer disappointment you had and perhaps delve into... Any positives from the trip, besides, of course,
actually,
getting to engage in Paul and myself? Oh, Paul, go on.
I have a question. How did you become a Suns fan all the way out from Australia?
That's a great question, Paul.
Thank you.
I was expecting the question to be kind of useless, but that was a good question. Go on.
It's not really that interesting of a story, so that's why it's going to be perfect for a podcast.
especially ours.
Yeah.
Touché.
So it was probably back in high school. I think it was the 2003-04 season, LeBron's first year. I always remember it's that. That's when I first started following the NBA, and I didn't really have a team. I was could watch as like as we didn't have access. I didn't have League Pass. I only had access like one or two ESPN games a week at that point, so it was limited in what I could see. And I got interested in the league, and but I decided at the end of that season that I wanted a team to follow because I figured that would be the best way for me to actually like get to know the league more and get more involved and actually feel some passion for it. So sure. It was actually the next year I ended up getting the NBA Live video game.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down when I first got it, popped it in there, sat down and went through every roster and had a look at all the players and came across the Phoenix Suns. And you gotta remember, this is like, I was probably like, I want to say probably at that time 14, maybe 15, something like that in high school. I had no idea about the differences between Phoenix or Boston or San Antonio or any of these places. They were just names with players attached to them. So I decided, I went through everyone and I thought, you know what, Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, that's the team for me. And then I started seeing some of their games and on TV. Luckily enough, they were popular enough then when they started playing really well that they were on ESPN. Mm-hmm. I think that season they played, I kind of remember there was a, this you'll have to fact check this afterwards, but I think there
don't
was
worry, we won't, yeah, yeah, that's right. We'll just assume it's true.
I think from memory there was a they made the playoffs that season. Mm-hmm. So they went to the Western Conference Finals, but I think their first round matchup was against the Grizzlies. And that was the team that had like Pau Gasol and Stro Swift and Hubie Brown coaching.
Miles Swift.
But I remember watching that. I remember watching like game one or two or something on TV that, and that was pretty special. Like that they were on, like I got to see them on TV. So anyway, that's how my fandom grew. And that's probably been for the last 12, 13, yeah. 14 years or something like that.
Well, I remember that season very well because I mean that when they brought Nash back, I'm assuming that right. The time frame was before Nash or it was after Nash left to go to Dallas, they brought him back. Is that the year you're talking about? So that would have been like 04 or so.
Yeah. When he came back.
That was a, well, I guess it's probably fair to say surprising season because the Suns hadn't been doing a whole lot and they brought Nash back. That was, in fact, as perhaps I've pointed out on this podcast before, the first year of the Sarver regime because Sarver, perhaps people forget, was responsible, at least in part, and as the owner in large part, for bringing back Steve Nash to the Phoenix Suns. And I remember that year they came out of the gates on fire. I was down in law school in Tucson, and I listened to a bunch of the games down there, watched the games when I could. But they came out in the first 30 games of the year or so, having only lost, I want to say, a handful of games, maybe four or five games. They came out like gangbusters.
I don't even know if it was that many.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I said maybe. So, but yeah, that was really like the year when the Valley of the Sun, if you will, Raph, you know, in case you haven't heard it being called the Valley of the Sun yet.
I'll write that one down.
Was, there you go. Was when the Phoenix Suns really became again, you know, the city's team. Because, you know, back in the late 80s into the early 90s through the KJ, Chambers, Marley, and then Barkley years, this city was just absolutely on fire when it came to the Suns. And then, you know, they remained successful, but it started tailing off after that 92-93 season, and bringing Nash back in really re-injected the love that this city has for them. So it's really a good time, frankly, for a fan like yourself to get engaged with the Suns because, well, you came in really kind of at the beginning of what ultimately became probably the peak of the franchise. And then you've, you know, had the opportunity to then live with the past
yeah,
6 years we've been dealing with, so yeah.
Which is arguably the deepest valley.
Yes, the deepest valley for the Valley of the Sun. I like how you did that, Paul. Well done.
You're welcome.
Well done. Okay, so before we, you know, since we haven't recorded in 2.5 weeks or so, and we're coming at you midweek, which is unusual. Well, early weekday, beginning of the week. I got stuff going on, man. Thanks to our guest here. You know, some things have been happening. You know, Paul and I have been going back and forth talking about David Fizdale being fired up in Memphis and how he could be a great fit for the Suns. Paul and I also might have a bit of a vested interest, both of us having gone to the university where Mr. Fizdale got his start, both as a player and as a coach. And then we have the Devin Booker injury as well. Both things have obviously been covered by other podcasts on the site. We'll probably give our 2 cents as well. But before we delve into that, Raph, since, you know, this is your podcast as far as I'm concerned, any other interesting things that you've seen with the Suns? I mean, you went to a couple of games. Unfortunately, I'm assuming Booker was out for both of those games. I lose my time frame here, so it's no big deal. You just traveled halfway across the world and you get to see Devin Booker play.
I know. I mean, come on, he just fell down on the job.
Not really.
Jeez, Paul, a little harsh, but it's an abductor muscle, bro.
I know, it sounds really painful.
It does. It sounds horrible. Seeing the injury, I was mortified, frankly, because I've never seen somebody actually get injured but still, like, stand up and not move in a standing position for, like, 5 minutes like he did. But we'll delve into that. Tap your brakes. Any other insights, observations you've had of the Suns in the games that you did see, notwithstanding the fact that Devin Booker was not playing?
So, I'm going to be perfectly honest, when I'm at home, I get to watch the games on League Pass. I can sort of like get an overall view. I went pure fanboy those two games. I had all the things of me trying to watch the game, and I was so engrossed in watching. So I went to the two games I went to go see were against the Wizards and the Spurs, and you tell me if it's a funny story or not. So I decided I'm flying all the way out here. I'm going to get myself the best tickets I can get.
Sure.
And it worked out that the best tickets I could get were behind the visitors' bench.
Oh.
So...
Not bad.
So the two games, I got to sit behind Scott Brooks and Greg Popovich. And eye level of the players, mm-hmm. which was incredible because, like, watching Josh Jackson defend Brad Beal the entire game, mm-hmm. the two of them just going backwards and forwards and watching his concentration and how much effort he was putting into that. Like, you know, I don't know how well he was doing down the other end. It's a bit hard. I realize now it's harder to see down the other end of the court when you're sitting that low. But just seeing that, watching one of the really cool things was in the Spurs game, I think it was, watching Jared Dudley call out defensive assignments from the back of the key, which was really awesome because he pushed like Troy Daniels out so he could get a three, and it worked. Like the ball came into him in a post up and he kicked it back out. It was brilliant. Just those little things, like everything else that I watched the Suns about and complain about and all the things I don't like Mike James dribbling the ball and taking every shot that you can get. All of that went out the window because I was just in this halo effect of the Suns and I'm there watching them. So my take on the Suns that I saw was probably as much as I just said then. And because I've been traveling for the past 2.5 weeks, it's been tough for me. I realize how tough it is if you're out of town to try and keep up with the team if you don't have a league pass. And unfortunately, my league pass doesn't work here. add that onto it. So I was going off Twitter and everything. But going back to this, so I was sitting behind the bench for the two games, and I told my friend back home who was like, all right, so where I was sitting, you can actually see me on TV. So I'm guessing on the Fox Sports Arizona feeds, you'll see me. And I had the unfortunate pleasure of at the Wizards game, the Wizards had like a 10-0 run at the end of the game to win it. My friend told me he could see me every basket the Wizards were making and the Suns were missing. He just saw my face you could see me like the anguish in my face. Cause I'm like, here we are, we're tied up. I might actually get to see the Suns win a game in person. It's like awesome. But the worst part was, against the Spurs, I think it was Bryn Forbes hit a three to go up three. is that right to go up three? But anyway, it was right at the end of the game, and everyone, so there was a couple of people in front of me, so I wasn't right next to it, there was like a couple of people in front of me, they were standing, so we couldn't sit down the other end of the court, so everyone was standing in the section. And then the Spurs were down that end, they were shooting at their bench in the second half. And we're all standing watching. I saw the ball swing across the top of the key. I saw Bryn Forbes open. He caught in the shooting position. He jumped up. And in the back of my mind, I thought, that's going in, isn't it? It's too perfect. The Suns might have a chance to beat the Spurs, who another thing, had no players.
They left half their team in San Antonio.
Yeah, exactly.
Bryn Forbes is playing.
So I did get to see a G League game because half the Spurs were the G League Spurs. But anyway, as he jumped up and he drained that shot, apparently my friend told me, he's like, I could see your face as that three was going in, and could tell how upset you were about that. So to me, that is the greatest thing, that I am on TV looking upset with the Spurs hitting a three to beat the Suns.
You're on TV likely looking on your face how, you know, Suns fans have felt for the past 6 years just in general. Well, that's awesome. That's great that you got the opportunity to watch the game, not only in person, but from the perspective that you got to see, and you know, what I kind of gathered from a lot of what you just said is, A, Jared Dudley will in fact be a fantastic coach in the NBA someday. B, Josh Jackson is a beast defender, and you didn't necessarily say that, but I have a bit of a man crush on Josh Jackson, so I'm just going to go ahead and infer that from your comments. And C, you okay, Paul?
Yeah.
I think I'm putting him to sleep.
Yeah, jeez. It's rude.
I'm on the East Coast.
And C, now I lost my train of thought. The maddening thought process that all Suns fans go through when they see Mike James just dribble and dribble and dribble and shoot extends outside of the American border. That's what I take.
That is a very concise recap there, Justin.
Thank you, Paul. I thought you were going to add more right there. I thought I kind of queued you up, but no, that's fine. East Coast, I'm tired.
Did you just go there today?
Yeah,
I did.
I'm so jet lagged from my trip today, and it's an hour later, dude, or 2 hours later. It's not like we're recording and it's like 4 a.m. your time. And I have to give you kudos too, Raf, in that you talk about how, you know, you watched the games on League Pass back in Australia. Dude, when the Suns are on the East Coast and they like tip off at like 4 p.m., I'm like, oh, how am I supposed to watch that game 4 p.m.? And here you are. I have no idea what the time difference is. Probably like 12 hours.
It's more, but I'm not watching it live. I got the replay.
But still, you endeavor to actually watch. So that's impressive, and kudos to you. And, you know, frankly, if the Suns had more fans like you in Phoenix, it would probably be a better basketball town. No offense, Phoenix, born and raised here, but we are a transient
city. We're a fair-weather city.
We're a transient city, I like to say, because we have a lot of transplants, but fair weather, I guess, probably works as well. Also, you mentioned, where was the place you said you found yourself in?
People's Valley,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, I've lived here my whole life. I've never heard of
it. Never heard of it.
Like, no offense to anybody who might listen to this who's from People's Valley, but goodness gracious, never heard of it.
I've been many places in this state, and I have no idea what that is.
I'm sure it's lovely. Don't get me wrong.
It has a population of 374 people at the 2000 consensus. Census, not consensus.
I feel like the consensus, though, is that like that name is a misnomer then.
There's
only
no people
a few
valley.
People valley. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Paul.
Person valley.
Oh, yeah. few hundred person valley. Okay, so getting on. Paul, you've sat and mostly just listened because, well, that's kind of how it goes sometimes anyway, because I tend to talk a lot. I apologize for that. But let's touch on Fizz just for a moment, because I love David Fizdale. I mean, we knew guys that played at University of San Diego and he was a coach there, and they loved him back in 2002. He's obviously come a long way since coaching at the university where we can't play but we can coach.
Yes.
And you know, there have been some rumblings about maybe bringing him in here to Phoenix. What do you think, man? Would you be down for that? I mean, I feel like you're going to say yes, but so if you say yes and expand, why would you be down for that?
No, I think he'd be a horrible coach for the Suns.
Whoa! Curveball thrown by Paul. I did not see that
honestly,
one coming.
I can't even back up that. I think he'd be a great coach for the Suns, really. Okay. I think he's got the right
double
kind of
curveball.
Attitude. I feel like he has an attitude similar to a Dudley. Just that he knows his stuff and he knows how to get guys in the right places, but he also has an energy about him that he keeps guys engaged.
Right.
So, and I think that would work really well with a young team like the Suns. I mean, maybe that's part of the problem that he had in Memphis is like his style didn't really, I guess, jive with Gasol.
Yeah.
Because it seems like pretty much that was the issue. Because otherwise, I don't really know really what else he did wrong. Because, I mean, yeah, they went on a losing streak. But, I mean, you can chalk that up to so many other reasons. Like with Conley being between him being out and I think they had a bunch of other injuries as well. So I think he would be a really good fit. From what I've read, it sounds like Triano doesn't really want to be a head coach full time. So I mean, that's what he said. God knows if he's going to change his mind on that.
Did he say
that?
I feel like
that would be I think he kind of did.
That would be kind of like a weird thing for a head coach to say.
I think I heard something. I'm not going to say yes, but I think I heard something similar to that effect that he was okay being an interim assistant coach. But that's
interesting.
Not fact check point two.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul, you're lucky. You're lucky Raph's here because I'm going to just assume what you're saying is accurate then.
Bro, because Australians are excellent fact checkers.
Well, I'm just mostly just sheer numbers here.
Shout out to Leos.
You have somebody who's
very true.
Kind of agreeing with you, so.
But yeah, so I think he would be a good coach. I mean, the fact that he's a fellow Torero doesn't hurt on my end because, you know, I'll always cape for those guys. I mean, I have trouble caping for Mike Brown, but the other guys are all like him, Borrega, all those guys. I want to see them get their chance in the league to coach and show what they can do and help build up the rep of USD as a school that puts out like really good NBA coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And who might actually be able to play a little ball this year too? The 7-2 Toreros right now.
Look at that.
On top of the West Coast Conference, ahead of Gonzaga, no big deal, whatever. But no, I agree with you. I would love to see Fizz here. Outside of the fact that he sounds like Tone Loke, which would just make
for... It kind of looks like Tone Loke, too,
which would just make for great
really
sound
hot.
Bites. His wife's hot. Okay, thank you, Paul. Jeez. It seems kind of disrespectful towards women, Paul, but... kidding, you're fine. But no, I mean, I think you're right in terms of him being the right personality for a young team like this because you've got, I mean, we saw Earl Watson at least be able to galvanize those guys for a while, but obviously his rah-rah sis-goom-ba approach only took them so far, and he quickly lost that locker room. It seems like Fizz would
because he couldn't back it up with like actual coaching skills.
Yes, and it seems like Fizz would have a good mix of both the ability to coach and the ability to engage with and connect with his players. He's like maybe like right in the middle, and I'm going to use this guy as an example, although he's doing pretty well right now with a young team, but perhaps he's a good mix of a Earl Watson and a Tom Thibodeau. And I think, again, that's exactly what the Suns need. He's a young coach. He's an up-and-coming coach, which kind of plays right into the, timeline effect that we have with young and upcoming players, and I would absolutely love to see him get that opportunity. I think he would be a great fit. Go on.
I think a lot of the league sees that, though, so it's going to be competitive to get him. Because I think a lot of the league, and there's going to be a handful of openings. I mean, there's our just as the season goes and the offseason comes about, that the Suns may be competing against some other teams that may have better situations. So it'll be interesting to see if the team actually steps up and we'll maybe have to like put the money on the line of being like, hey, we're going to invest in this guy because we think he's worth it.
Yeah, this is definitely a situation that it's not going to be we're going to hire a coach and pay him, you know, lower third salary for head coaches in the league. He's going to get paid, and if the Suns want to bring him in, they're going to have to open up that checkbook. But, you know, if there's ever a time for the Suns to make that commitment, it's with a guy like this. I mean, the last guy that would come to mind that fits the same type of, you know, up and coming, can connect with players, knows X's and O's, comes from a good pedigree, was Luke Walton. And Luke Walton wasn't even as established as Fizz is. And obviously the other detriment there was Luke Walton. I don't think there's ever any doubt that he was just going to go to the Lakers. But, you know, that being said, again, if there's ever a time when it makes sense for the Suns to really open up a checkbook and pay for a head coach, Fizz is the guy.
This is why we hired James Jones.
Right.
You know, they got that Miami connection.
Exactly.
You know, and hey, we can bring in Borrega as an assistant too.
Right. I say
all of you, SD.
Dude, yeah, I was gonna say. Well, you know that if I'm not mistaken, Kevin Hansen is a coach in the NBA right now too. I think he was last I saw. He was the development guy with I want to say New Orleans, and I believe Corey Belzer was last in the San Antonio organization. So there's some USD coaches out there that perhaps are getting a little less pub than the guys like Fizz, the guys like Mike Brown, the guys like Borrego, who, you know, held the, I think it was an interim for Orlando.
Orlando!
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I know.
Is he still there? Why don't you call him up now, bro?
I'm pretty sure he's with the Spurs right now.
Well, that makes sense. He's probably over there with like all those other guys. So we just got to pry them away from Pop and, you know, see what we can do then. Anything else, Paul, you want to chat about? Or Raf? Anything, guys? I mean, we could go into Booker, but, I mean, that is kind of is what it is at this point. He's out 2 to 3 weeks. He stood there on the floor for 5 minutes without moving, which was mortifying. Then he got carried off the court, which is mortifying. Then TMZ posted a video of him being wheelchaired through an airport, which was mortifying. But in the end, 3 weeks. Okay, thank God. That's fine. And you know what? I say keep him out 5 weeks just to be safe. I'm also okay with that.
Hey, I think it could be good for the Suns long term to have him out, because I think the a lot of the rest of the team might have been starting to treat Booker as a crutch,
mm-hmm.
and it'll force some other guys to maybe expand their games. So when Booker comes back, you know, he has more weapons around him, and the defenses can't just key in on him as much. But on the other side, if they lose a bunch, we have about even more of a shot at getting like a Luka Doncic or like another one of those top five picks to,
or both of those things happen and they get the chance to develop and they lose still.
It's a really, you bring up an interesting point, Paul. It's a bit hard for the team to like develop with Booker out when you're trying to make Booker an integral part of the team moving forward, because saw the other night against the Wizards, with Booker out, TJ Warren's going to be like the main go-to scorer. Sure. And they brought Josh Jackson into the starting lineup, but he spent the whole game defending Brad Beal, and I don't think he did very well offensively. He's a rookie, and he's going to struggle. But I mean, outside of him, Dragan Bender's on and off. Chris fouls a heap and goes and sits on the bench, and then we're left with like playing Monroe, when who knows if he's going to, how long he's going to be on the roster, if he's going to be here for the rest of the season or not. So, while it is good to see what we have on the roster while Booker's out, I think it's going to be better to have Booker back in there. And you can look, it's going to be tough with Jay Triano as the interim, but you can run plays, you can set up an offense and even a defense where Booker is an integral part and the other players are feeding off of him.
Right, yeah. I mean, you get more of what you're expecting to see for the next however many years out of the Suns when you have Booker in there.
Exactly.
And I look at it too as, I mean, Booker, when he kind of started breaking out his freshman year, his rookie year, that was, you know, due in part to injuries happening. He got more opportunity because of injuries, and obviously since then he's just continued to progress. So while, you know, it might not be what we want to see ideally for the team developing as a whole, those individual pieces getting a little bit of a jump start, like Josh Jackson getting some minutes as a starter, getting more exposure to guys on the starting lineups of opposing teams, having to guard a guy like Bradley Beal, things that we're expecting him to do in the future, things that he was brought in to do, getting that early exposure, and getting the opportunity to see exactly what the speed of that is, how he's going to have to adjust, what he needs to improve on certain aspects, individually would be great, I think, for him. And hopefully, you know, once Booker gets back, those individual pieces use whatever growth they get a chance to have while he's out and apply that to the regular lineup, the regular rotations that we're expecting to see over the next, you know, 3, 5, 10, 20 years. 20, okay. Exactly. 20 is an exaggeration, 20 but years. You know what I'm saying.
You know, hey, maybe Booker will be the Tom Brady of the NBA. Play forever.
Who knows? Maybe he will, Paul. Maybe he will. So on that note, Raf, any final thoughts, comments? Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great. Great heading out on, was it Friday night to the solar panel meetup? That
yes,
was fun.
At the Deuce. Yeah. And I apologize, guys, for forgetting the name of that podcast. You know, but we were discussing this before we started recording. If I don't write stuff down, it's just gone. So, you know.
No, well, yeah, thanks for inviting me on. This was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you who were able to make it out to the Deuce on Friday, thank you for coming. That was a blast. It was an interesting crowd, but we had fun nonetheless. And when I say that, I mean like in general, not just the folks that joined for solar panels get together there.
Yep.
But it was a great idea.
There were some great people watching.
Yeah, there was great people watching. It was a great idea by Espo and Tim and Dave. Make sure this time to put that together. And you know, and I know Tim was kind of saying how, of course, he comes out to Arizona, he goes to the same two games that Raf did, and you know, none of the star, you know, Wall wasn't playing, none of the star players are playing. Well, at least Tim didn't travel across the world to do it and you know, have to go through that as well, so he's got that going for him. But Paul, any last thoughts, comments, ideas, insights into life, financial investment opportunities?
No, you gave me all those on Friday night.
I know, I was on fire about cryptocurrency Friday, man. I'm telling you, been doing this for a while and it's working out. So that's a different podcast, though.
Yeah, other than that, no, I'm looking forward to just getting back in town because I've been out of town for almost like a month and I haven't been able to really keep up as much as I would like with the games just because of my schedule and whatnot.
Fair enough. So I guess on that note, we will wrap up this week's edition of Bryce of the Suns for the Fans by the Fans podcast. We'll wish our friend Raf here pleasant travels back to Australia, Brisbane, not Brisbane, Brisbane.
Exactly.
You know, hopefully, you know, have him on again sometime. You know, we'll have to do that while he's there, so he has to like do this at like 2 a.m. It's gonna be great. I guess until the next time we join you all, thank you for listening. As always, you can catch me on Twitter at So Says Jay and Paul
at Dervish of Whirl
and Raf.
I think mine is _ Raphael Rosa.
That sounds right to me.
We'll just post it because I know it's spelled kind of weird too. It'll be in the notes of the.
Yeah, I'll have to.
There you go.
I'll have to change
and
my handle.
And again, he contributes from time to time on Benchmob NBA podcast, so perhaps you can catch him on there. The soothing sounds and Australian accents, never a bad thing. And again, until next time we join you all, thank you for listening and have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
How rude.